Amid Hey Amid Beis, and we spoke a little about Maaseh Sheni, if you recall. So let's just review the last point that we made here. We said that Truma, if you make a matzah out of Truma, that's fine for the Kohen. And the Gemara said that's a big chiddush, because we would have thought that since that same matzah cannot be eaten by anyone who's not a Kohen, it's not called Shovel Chol Adam. And yesterday we had a little of a discussion about what this concept of Shovel Chol Adam is. We found it in Malefes Yontif, that you need something called Shovel Chol Adam. But the Kamashmal is that we have a special ribuy of matzos, and that teaches us that even though this matzah is mutter for you and it's also for him, in this case it's also for anyone who's not a Kohen, but nevertheless it's considered matzah. And you could be yotze the mitzvah with matzah shel truma. Now we also discussed in with regard to Maaseh Sheni that if you have Maaseh Sheni in Chutz Laretz, the Torah says that you could be poda the Maaseh Sheni. And after you pode the Maaseh Sheni, the Maaseh Sheni loses its Kedusha. It has no sanctity whatsoever. So now after you did the pigeon on Maaseh Sheni, you took the grains and you made a matzah out of it. What was the Mishnah, what was the Habamin of the Mishnah to say that you cannot be Yotze with that matzah? And the Mishnah had to tell me, no, after the pigeon, you're allowed to be Yotze, you can be Yotze the mitzvah of matzah. So the Gemara says that there's a din in pigeon Maaseh Sheni that requires that you add a chomesh. And in this case, what he did was he was poder the value of the Maaseh Sheni itself, you know, those grains, onto an equivalent amount of mos, of matbea. But he didn't add a chomesh. And the question is, would the pigeon be chal? Does the Torah validate and recognize the pigeon without the chomesh, without adding the chomesh? And the halabina was, no, this pigeon is not chal, and therefore the Maaseh Sheni remains asur, and there was no pigeon. Therefore, the matzah is possible. Kamashmal, no, we hold that there's a pigeon even without the chomesh, even if he didn't add the fifth, that remains as an outstanding chov that he'll have to give another fifth. So what we're up to now is the case of Tevel. And this was the very last thing that we touched on yesterday. The Mishnah tells us that if you bake a matzah out of Tevel, you're not yotze with that matzah. And once again, the Gemara says, Pshita, Tevel is certainly also. How could you use it for a mitzvah? And the Gemara says, we're talking about Tevel Durabanan. And that's called an Otzit She'eno Nakuv. And if you recall from yesterday's discussion, we spoke about placing a plant or planting in soil that is separated from the ground itself. It's in a vase, we'll call it. I forget the exact English translation of the word Otzit. Does anybody remember? There's a fancy English word for it, I don't remember. I'll call it a vase, but anyway, that's not the right word. But in any event, it's eino nakuv, meaning there's no apparent, with the naked eye at least, doesn't see any nurture, any nourishment going from the ground into the otzitz.
Underneath the flower pot.
A flower pot, okay, so we'll call it flower pot. Right. Okay, that's better than a vase. Yeah, flower pot, I like that, flower pot. These days, everybody's into pot these days, so we'll call it a flower pot. All right. Okay, so now we're talking about Tevel Durabonon in an Otzitz She'eno Nakuv. And the Kamash from the Mishnah is being mechadish that you're not Yotzi the Mitzvah of Matzah with this Tevel Durabonon. Tevel Durabonon. So I just wanted to mention to you a footnote here. He says that Rashi's going to limit this. He says, Yotzi Videi Chova. He says, what's the difference between Dmai? Dmai is also Asa Drabbanon, and yet you are Yotze with Matzah of Dmai. Whereas Otzitz, Sheino Nakuv, which is Tevel Drabbanon, you are not Yotze, the Mitzvah of Matzah. And he says the answer is because Dmai has one advantage to it, and that's because it's Mutal Zoran, Laniyim, and he himself could make himself into an Oni if he would be Mafkir his Nechasim. You don't have something similar in the case of Tevel in an Otzitz Sheino Nakuv Durabanan, because Tevel Durabanan is Tevel Gomor. There's no backs, there's no way of getting out of that Iser, of removing that Iser, unless you're Mafresh. Then he quotes the Marsha, and he says that there's another strange thing here that we should point out in Rashi, And Rashi says the reason why Tevel Drabbanan is excluded from matzah is because of mitzvah bab avera. The Gemara is going to assume that Tevel, at least Tevel Doraisa, is invalid for matzah for a different reason. Because you're only allowed to make matzah out of something that's the Baal Tochal Chametz, that can only be under the Isur of Chametz if it would have fermented, but not another Isur. So he says the following, that the reasoning of the Gemara would not apply to Tevel Derabbanan, since according to the Torah law, it's not Asur. So therefore, according to the Torah, there's only Baal Tochal Chametz here would qualify as matzah. And therefore, Rashi was trying to understand and justify the conclusion of our Mishnah, the way the Gemara interprets it, that in Tevel Derabbanan, you're not Yotze the mitzvah of matzah. Why not? And the answer is because of mitzvah above Avera. And he says the following. Is Rashi Pirushain Lotze spoke Mishum Shebechimutso who also Machmas Dover Achavalom Mishum Chametz Afshi Surael and Drabon Hai Mishum Shesham Yesh Sofek Isu Doraisa. Oh. So he says the following. Let's reconcile two Rashis. In the case of Demai, the Gemara had a half minute to say the Neat Yotze with Demai, not Yotze Matzah with Demai. And here we're saying that, why? Excuse me. What was the reasoning in the Gemara's logic that you're not yotzei with matzah shel tamai? The answer is because it has another iser to it. It's also midin tevel. Here Rashi says, in the case of tevel derabbanan and tamai, keep in mind, is also derabbanan. The reason why you're not yotzei matzah is because of mitzvah bab avera. Why does Rashi need two different explanations? In the case of Demai, he uses one explanation, meaning that there's another Isur here. And in the case of Tevel Drabbanan, he says because it's a mitzvah bab avera, a whole different logic. So the Marsha claims the following, that there's a fundamental difference between Demai and Otzit Sheinu Nakuv. In the case of Demai, since we're afraid that the Amoris was not Mafrish, therefore, the Chachamim set up an Isur d'Oraisa of Tevel. And therefore it's not just Bebal Tochal Chametz, it's also an Isur Tevel. Mashen came here. In the case of an Otzit Sheinu Nakuv, that's a whole new entity of Tevel d'Rabbanan. And therefore there's no Isur d'Oraisa whatsoever. And therefore Rashi was forced to introduce the logic of Mitzvah Bab Avera.
Here's a very interesting comment.
Yeah, what does he say?
Mitzvah Bava Avera only applies to a mitzvah that has some kind of tehillah, tefaris in it, and other mitzvahs.
Is he called the Ritva by Lulav?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the famous Ritva by Ritzu. I think the Ritva says Ritzu because the Nanuim is Ritzu.
Is it Tosfos Reish Pei? I'm not sure whether it is who said that.
Oh, Rabbi in Paris. Right.
Okay, so that's.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. You reminded me of this Ritva. There's a very famous Ritva. I think it's in Sukkah Daf Tes, if I'm not mistaken. There's a famous question of Tosis. Why does the Gemara need a pasuk to exclude a stolen Sukkah? Why not just simply call it Mitzvah Bava Vera? And the Ritva comes up with a radical, revolutionary answer to that question. He says the Mitzvah Bava Vera only applies to a Mitzvah Sheish Bar Ritzui. It has a special din. It's like in front of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, you're like in front of the Shechina. And he says that only applies to lulav. The Gemara says that lulav agozel is possibly din mitzvah bab avera. So he says that since in a lulav we take the lulav in front of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Beis HaMikdash we do nanuim, therefore lulav has a special spiritual ritual status, you know, being close to Hashem, and therefore it's like a karban. The karban is miloshim lahakriv liskariv in front of Hashem, and then we apply the principle of mitzvah bab avera. But sukkah doesn't have that advantage. Now, if you go with that Ritva, let's talk about the case of Otzit Sheino Noku for the mitzvah of matzah. Here, we're not talking about a mitzvah sheish bar ritzui, right? Matzah would be a classic mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, like sukkah. And therefore, according to the Ritva, there's no mitzvah bar avera. But Rashi does operate with mitzvah bar avera. Yeah, so Rashi is not like the Ritva. And basically, the Rishonim are not like the Ritva. This is a very revolutionary Ritva who severely restricts and limits the principle of mitzvah bav avera. Very select few cases of mitzvahs will fall under that category. Mashenkin, Rashi, and all the other Rishonim, they understood that mitzvah bav avera applies to any mitzvah whatsoever, even though it's derived from karbon, but it's not limited to karbon. Any mitzvah that comes through an avera. Now, it's interesting here. Sometimes you can have an overlap of a mitzvah and an avera. What do I mean, an overlap? It's not that the object itself was acquired through an avera, like in the case of gzela, but rather, for example, the Gemara says that if you carry a lulav, let's say it was Shabbos Yontif, and you carry the lulav through Rishus HaRabim, and then you took the lulav, so the Gemara, this is based on the Yerushalmi, says that's not called mitzvah bab avera, because that's just an overlap, a convergence, if there's such a word, of mitzvah and avera. It's not that the avera sets up the mitzvah. You know, you can take a lulav anywhere on the face of the earth. You know, he decides that he wants to take the lulav here and not there, and he has to carry it from one place to the other. So now I want to ask you about tevel. In the case of matzah shel tevel, how do we view that? In a sense, you know, I could have been yotzei the mitzvah of matzah even if it wasn't tevel. It wasn't that tevel facilitated the mitzvah of matzah. This would be more similar to the case of hotzas lulav versus lushus.
But there's something inherent in the
matzah. Yeah, excellent. Oh, beautiful. That's what I think the answer is. That the matzah itself is a chetzed disura because it's tevel. And that makes it into mitzvah babavir. And gzela would say the same guzzle is chal and the chetzed, right? That's how the briskers would say
it. Gzela being sitlachem, you know, it's...
Well, that Gemara says that would only apply the first day of Yontif, and what about the rest of the days of Yontif, right? Okay. Lot 3 up. So now we're up to Lo B'masa Rishon Shelo Nitla Truma. So let's take a minute to make sure we all have the place. Okay, so let's see. I have my finger on the place. I'm trying to figure out how to tell you where it is. If you notice in the classic Shas Bavli, Mitchell will find it easier in his Steinsaus, but in the classic Shas Bavli, we have a strip on the bottom of a wider line. So if you count up from the wide lines going upwards, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines and one word. It says, V'lo b'masa rishon shelo nitla trumasa. Now let's understand. Who receives Maaser Rishon? The Levi. Now the Levi is chayav to be mafresh truma. That's called truma's maaser. How much is that? 10%. 10%. Really interesting, because when the Jew gives truma, he only gives 2%. But when the Levi gives truma, he has to give 10%. Now, you have a case where the Levi received his maaser from the Israel, but he did not take off his maaser for the Kohen. So that's tevel mamish. So the Gemara says, Pshita, for sure, if you take that tevel and you make matzah out of it, you're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah. Lo tzricha shekedimo b'kri. Now yesterday, I'm going to just, for those who weren't with me yesterday, what I'm about to say now might just fly over your head, because this was an hour's discussion that we had yesterday. There's something called hikdimo b'shibolim and hikdimo b'kri. Hikdimo b'shibolim means that the Levi took his maser before the truma was taken. In both cases, the Levi took his maser before the truma was taken. That's called hikdimo. However, there's two types of hikdimo. The real early hikdimo is a lot better than the later hikdimo. The early hikdimo is called hikdimo b'shibolim. B'shibolim means before meruach, before gemar melach. So at that point, there was no chiyuv hafrashas truma. And in that case, you can completely obviate or circumvent the mitzvah of truma. Then we have something called hikdimo b'kri. In hikdimo b'kri, here what happened was that the Levi took his maser before the Yisrael had a chance to be mafresh the truma, but he was chayav in truma. That's called kri. Kri is already after meruach, after gemar melach. So at that point, there's an absolute chiyuv of trumas and masers. So now, what would be if you took the Levi's maser in the case of hikdimo b'kri, and you baked it as matzah, would you be able to be yotze with that matzah? So the maskana is, as we're going to see in our Mishnah, is that no, that matzah is excluded because it's tevel. But there was a havamina to say that there's no tevel over here. Why is there no tevel? Oh. So the answer is because the Levi, just one second. Let's say Kanikdimo Bikri. Shakadam Alev Vinoto Masurishame Akri. Let's make Firushman Shumagdol. Hifishman Shusma. Oh, fine. Baruch Hashem. So to make sure I wasn't going to mislead you. Yeah. So what happened was in this case, the Levi took, he jumped the gun and he prematurely took his Maser. Then he gave Maser, Mina Maser, to the Kohen. So everything so far is good. Except for one thing. He didn't give Truma Gedola. Now, what happened was that since the Levi was Makdim and he took his Maser before the Truma was given, therefore there's a Chiv Truma Gedola in this grain. And it turns out that the Levi now, in order to remove the Issa Tevel, he's got to do two things. He's got to give Masim and a Masim, which is called Truma's Masim, 10%. But he also has to give the Kohen another 2%, because he cheated the Kohen 2% by being mocked him. But had he done so when it was still Bishibolim, then it would be no Chi of Truma Gedola. But he was mocked him a little bit too late, after it became Kri, meaning after Meruach. And that was the whole drush that we had yesterday about Digun and Dagon. Mal detema, I might think, Kidda Amar Le Rav Papa Abaye. Yesterday we had a discussion between Rav Papa and Abaye, and Rav Papa wanted to extend the tour of Truma Gedola even to the case of Ikdimo Bakri. Kamash Malon, Kidda Mishani Le. Just like the answer of Abaye, that was a special miut in the Torah, and that miut in the Torah tells me that if it was Kri, then there is a Chi of Truma Gedola. Now he bakes a matzah without being mafresh, the Levi bakes a matzah without being mafresh Truma Gedola, and in such a case it's called Tevel, and therefore you're not Yotze the mitzvah of matzah. Then we go on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, V'lo b'maser sheni v'hegdish lo niftu. And once again the Gemara is going to ask Pshita. After all, maser sheni without pigeon is Asur b'achila. With a separate isolav called Lotucha Lecho Bisharecha. And Mitch, you were with me when we learned Masechta Makos. You remember those days? It's a while ago. But we spent a lot of time. Yeah, there's a whole sugi about Lotucha Lecho Bisharecha, the love of eating Maaseh Sheni outside of Yerushalayim without pigeon. And now he takes this Maaseh Sheni outside of Yerushalayim without pigeon, and he bakes matzah out of it. For sure he's not yotze the mitzvah matzah, because the Torah says, Losucha lechol b'sharecha. In the second case, Hegdei shalom niftu, so there's a separate Issa d'oraisa of Me'ilah in Hegdeish, and therefore if he wants to eat this matzah, for sure he's not yotze the mitzvah of matzah, because there's another Issa, namely the Issa of Hegdeish. So what's the Mishnah coming to tell me? What's the teaching of the Mishnah, the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Li'olam de'niftu. Don't interpret the Mishnah on a superficial level. Shalo niftu means there was no pigeon. There was a pigeon, but the pigeon was invalid. Oh. What kind of pigeon was a pigeon but was invalid? That's called asimon. Umaylo niftu. Shalo niftu kihil chasan. The pigeon was not done the way it should be done. And what does it mean? Maaseh sheni shepida'o al gavi asimon. So let's try to understand this. When they used to mint coins, there was an asimon, which is, some of you may remember if you've been here in Israel for a long enough time, or you came on trips when you were younger, right? They used to use this as a phone token. Basically, it's a token. But what's lacking on it is the engraving of the name or the picture of the queen or the king of the government. Meaning it's not really legal tender. It can be used and it has a value, albeit a lower value, but it's still worth whatever it's worth. And then you could take this asimon into Fort Knox or wherever it is and have them, stamp it with the government, and then it becomes legal tender. But now it has value to it. And now since it has value to it, theoretically, you could be poda maaser sheni onto this asimon. And in fact, if you have hegdesh, you could be poda hegdesh on an asimon. But in the case of maaser sheni, the Mishnah is telling me a chiddush, you cannot. That the pigeon of maaser sheni on an asimon is invalid. Even though the asimon has value to it. But it's not what we call a tsura or a matbea. Now there's a whole perek in Shas called Perek HaZohav in Bav Metzia. I mean, I wouldn't say the whole perek, but a major chunk of that perek addresses this concept of Pidyon Maaseh Sheni. I learned that with Rav Moshe Chorsky, Zichor Levracha, who, as you all know, was killed. And the Gemara here wants to know whether or not you could, if you oppose the Maaser Sheni with an Asimon, whether or not you can use that Maaser Sheni now for matzah. And that's the Chiddush of Mishnah, that this pigeon is invalid, and that the sanctity of the Maaser Sheni remains, and therefore there's an Isra Achila Chutz Yerushalayim, you cannot use it for matzah. The Rachmana Omar, the Torah says regarding pigeon Maaser Sheni, and the Torah says, I think it's in Parshas Re'eh, correct me Mitch if I'm wrong, Kirchak Mimcha Makom, and then it says Menasata Bakesef, which means that you're far away from Yerushalayim, so to schlep 10% of your produce, if Baruch Hashem you're a successful farmer, like in a winter like this with so much rain, then how can you, you know, wagon loads of Maaser Sheni and then go eat it in Yerushalayim? So the Torah says, Kirchak Mimcha Makom, Menasata Bakesef, and then it says Vitzarta Hakesef Biyodecha. And the Gemara is going to dash in from this word Vitzarta. Literally means you tie up the money, you know, put it in a money bag, and take it up to Yerushalayim, and that's where you're going to be eating it, B'kedusha B'tara. And the Gemara darshins that what is Vitzarta telling me? The Torah could have just said Ve'vesa or Ve'lesa. Why does it say Vitzarta Hakesef Biyodecha? Dovar means my bea coin, sheyesh lo tsura. In other words, even an asimon is a matbea. It's a token, it's a coin, but it doesn't have a tsura on it. It doesn't have the mint, it wasn't minted, you know, with the picture of the Indian chief on it. So this is not a valid pigeon. Why? Because the Torah says Vitzarta, and you have to be pulled in onto Dovar Sheyesh Lo Tzura to the exclusion of an Asimon. Now we get to Hegdesh. And the Mishnah tells you that if you oppose the Hegdesh onto something, rather we don't know what onto what, then the Hegdesh can now, it remains Asur, and you cannot use it for matzah. What was so bad? I mean, if you tell me you did a pigeon onto an asimon, a pigeon on an asimon is a valid pigeon in Hegdesh. And the answer is Shechil al Gabi Karka. What he did was, he took this Hegdesh and he tried to effectuate a chilul, which means a pigeon, onto Karka. The Rachmana Omar, the Torah says in the parsha of Makdish Sadehu, with regard to someone who after he sanctified his field, he wants to now be poded. So the Torah says, which I think is in Kitovo, it says, V'nasato ha-kesef ekom lo. Okay, so now the Torah is telling you what kind of object can be used for the transfer of Kedusha in the case of Chil, in the case of Pijon, Hegdish. It's got to be something that's v'kom lo. And v'kom lo means a dover ha-metaltil. V'kom lo means he can move it around from place to place. Like kesef. So in other words, you can be po the Hegdish on any metaltil and not lav dafka kesef, because you read the pasuk like this, v'nasata ha-kesef kama, and anything similar to kesef, which is called v'kamlo. Just like kesef is metaltilin, so too all metaltilin can be used as a vehicle to be po the Hegdish, but not karka. Karka is always the opposite of metaltilin, because karka is always kavua b'mkoma. So Amish wants to tell us a chiddush, that if he was po the his Hegdish onto karka, that Hegdesh remains Hegdesh. There was no Chilul HaHegdesh. The pigeon is invalid, and therefore the Iser Hegdesh still is retained, and you're not Yotzi the Mitzvah of Matz. Tana Rabbanan. Now we learn a Brisa. Yochel, I might think, She Yotzi Adam Yechovaso Bitevel Shalo Niskan. Now the word Niskan usually means what we call Hafrasha, meaning Niskan means to be Metaken, right? You remember we had back on Daf, was it Ches? You know, Chazaka, not on Daf Ches, I'm sorry, on Daf Daf Hey, maybe it was Chazaka al Chover She'eno Motzi Dover She'eno Mesukan Mitachas Yodo, means if he left fruit and then he died, remember, you can assume that he was Mafresh from the fruit. That's called Metukan. Tukan means the Takana, to fix it up so that now it's perfectly legitimate and it's Heter Gomur because he was Mafresh. So the Brisa says that I might think that if you have tevel and lo nitkan means you weren't mafresh shumas and maisus, you can still use it for matzah. So the Gemara right away stops in the middle and says, what do you mean? Even before the Gemara gets a chance to finish this brisa, the Gemara stands up and injects an objection. It's called tevel nami holo niskan. What are you talking about? Your tevel shalo niskan. I mean, that's what tevel is. You know, tevel is lo niskan. Tevel means the tvuah before hafrasha. Ella, so rather, we're talking about tevel shalom niskan called sarko. In other words, it was done, but it wasn't complete. It was an incomplete hafrasha. What does it mean, an incomplete hafrasha? She nitlo mimene truma gedola. The Gemara now has a few different scenarios. Scenario number one is that they took off truma gedola, but v'lo nitlo mimene truma smaseh. In other words, we're talking about the Levi who received maser, and he didn't take off Truma's maser. So that's also called tevel. So on the one hand, the Truma Gedola was removed, but on the other hand, the Truma's maser wasn't removed. So it remains tevel. Now we have a second scenario. Maser Rishon, he took off Maser Rishon. So now back to the Yisrael. V'lo Maser Sheni. But he hasn't yet set. Now again, on what years, let's go over this one more time. On which years of the Shemitah cycle do you have to add to Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni? 1, 2, 4, and 5. So on years 3 and 6, we replace the Maaser Sheni with Maaser Ani. So that's going to be the third scenario. And he says, Afilu, even if he took off Maaser Rishon, and he took off Maaser Sheni, again, there's no overlap of Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, but then he meant Maaser Ani, but Veloni told me he meant a Maaser Ani. He didn't take off Maaser Ani. So in all these cases, he cannot use the Tvuah for Matzah, because in all these cases, it still has the status of Tevel. It's Lo Niskan. Even though, again, we're far along the path, there was a lot of Hafrasha here. Many obligations of Hafrasha were fulfilled, but if there's still one hafrasha that's outstanding, it remains tevel. Then we get back to the brisa again. Minayin, how do we know that if it's tevel and you bake it as matzah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah? Talmud Lomar. Okay. Now we're about to see in this brisa is a drasha, a derivation. And the Gemara initially understands it one way, and then the Gemara is going to have to reject that and replace it with a different approach. So now we're going to learn the Gemara in the Hava Mina. What happens over here? The Pasuk, now in the Gemara itself that you have, it only quotes the beginning of the Pasuk. We're going to quote the entire Pasuk, because otherwise we won't understand what's going on here in this Brisa. The pasuk in Dvarim Tezayin says the following: Lo sochal olav chametz. So the Torah is enjoining us from eating chametz, and then it says the end of the pasuk says shivas yomim tochal olav matzos. So we have the mitzvah of matzah following immediately in the same pasuk as the isra achilas chametz, and that creates a hekesh. So we now have an equation here between matzah and chametz, and what does this teach me? This is going to limit the validity of matzah. Mi she isuro mishum bal tochal olav chametz. In the case of something which in and of itself would be heter, except for the fact that he left it ferment and then it became matzah, is then if you arrest the process of fermentation and you prematurely take it out of the oven, that's called matzah, because the only possible Easter, had you left it ferment in the Easter state, would have been chametz. That's the only Easter. It's an exclusive, singular, one single Easter. Now, what about the case of tevel? Yotza zeh, this comes to exclude, meaning to invalidate tevel, sheh. Even if it became chametz, ein isur mishum bal tochal chametz, el mishum bal tochal tevel. And right at this point, we're going to translate this brisa literally, and the Gemara is going to have a real problem with this, but let's understand the way the Gemara understood it initially. that when it says that Tevel is excluded from matzah, it means this matzah could not become chametz. What do I mean? It can't become, physically can become chametz, but it could never be included in the Isur chametz. Why? Because it's also b'toras Tevel. Do you see what's going on here? Initially, the way the Gemara understood it is that if something is also b'toras Tevel, then it's not also b'toras matzah. I'm sorry, b'toras chametz. And hence, it can't be matzah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'isur the chametz leichen azla. The very moment that this dough ferments, it became chametz. But what are you going to tell me? Because it's Tevel, it's not chametz? Rav Sheshes Homani, this price is authored by Rabbi Shimoni, the Omar Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Now, watch what happens here. In the case of a convergence of two Isurim on one Chefta, you have to know which Isur came first. The one that comes first grabs the ground, and no one else can capture that ground. Now, we used to play games as children like this, you know, who could put the flag up and then no one could take it away from you. So what Isur came first? If I ask you the following question, did Tevel come first or did Chametz come first? What would be your answer? Tevel, for sure, because Tevel is Chal even before you make it into a dough. And in fact, it might even be Tevel as early as Shibolim, as we said, even before Meiruach, but certainly after Meiruach, it's already Tevel. And later on, you baked it as a bread, and it became Chametz. So that's called Ein Isur Chal Isur. That's the Shita Reb Shimon. It means that the Isur Chametz will not be Chal. Why? Because the space is already occupied. By what?
Tevel.
Okay. Now, there's something interesting going on over here because, let me read to you the footnote. He says, Dafkal Rabbi Shimon and Yotzim v'matzah shel Isur Mishum hekesh matzah l'chomets. Aval shitas chachomim Isur kolel chal al Isur v'ein shayach tam zeh. So he introduces a new concept here called Isur Kolel. Just 1 second. Why is Chametz an Isur Kolel? I remember this, but I forgot. Just 1 second. Because we're going to have now a Gemara about Nevela and Yom Kippur, and I understand that Yom Kippur is an Isur Kolel. But why is Chametz an Isur Kolel? Why is Chametz an Isur Kolel? Okay, I don't know. Rabosa, I'm going to have to come back to this point a little bit later, and we'll see what happens. Desanya, where is this Rabbi Shimon? So we have a brisa that says Rabbi Shimon Omer, and here we're on Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph. Ochel Nevela B'Yom HaKippurim. So Rabosa, what would you say? Which is more chomer, Yom Kippur or Nevela? Don't really answer at once. Yom Kippur, for sure. Yom Kippur is an Issa Karetz. Nevela is an Issa Lav. And yet the Mishnah says Potter. Potter means the following. Let's say he ate it Bishogeg. Normally, if you violate Yom Kippur, which is a Chiyuv Karetz, B'mezid Bishogeg, then you bring a Karma Chatas. Here it says Potter. He doesn't have to bring a Karma Chatas, meaning he's not considered violating Yom Kippur. And who says this? This is Reb Shimon. We'll see the Chacham disagree. Now, how can Reb Shimon alleviate you from the Chiyuv of Yom Kippur in this case? And the answer is because it became the Vela before Yom Kippur. So when did the animal die? Before Yom Kippur. We're going to soon see that what happens if the animal died on Yom Kippur. That's going to be a whole Shat Levitari in this Gemara, because then, if the animal died on Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur, the onset of the Isur predated, you know, the onset of Nevela. It became Yom Kippur, and also before it became Nevela. Fine. But now let's talk about a classic case where the animal died before Yom Kippur. Comes along Yom Kippur, and Rav Shimon says, Yom Kippur does not have the power, it doesn't have the teeth to be chal as a separate Isur to add to the Isur of Nevela. Why? Because Ein Isur chal al Isur. Now, the Chiddush here is that even though Yom Kippur is what we call an Iser Kolel. An Iser Kolel means that the Iser now incorporates a wider scope. In the case of the Vela, only the Vela is Aser. But in the case of Yom Kippur, everything is Aser. So the Kolel means it includes things, let's say, we'll call it meat, let's say, in the case of the Vela. Even kosher meat becomes Aser. Kosher meat was not also by virtue of Nevela, but it became also by virtue of the onset of Yom Kippur. That's called an Issa Kolel. But Rabbi Shimon holds Ein Issa Chal Issa period. And there are no exceptions to the rule. Even in the case of an Issa Kolel, we're still going to apply the principle of Ein Issa Chal Issa. And therefore, it works like this. Tevel and chametz. Let's compare tevel and chametz. So chametz is, as I told you before, an iser kolel. Let me try to understand this. Why is chametz an iser kolel? And I finally have to, you know, whether I like it or not, I have to answer this question. Why is chametz called an iser kolel? Oh, I got it. Here's the way it works. Rabosai. Let's fill up this room with bread. One of the breads is tevel. Is it fair to say that all the breads are tevel? Absolutely not. In most of these breads, they were mafish, trumas, and maisers. But what it is fair to say is that all of these breads became chametz on Pesach. Because whether it's tevel or not tevel, it's chametz. That makes chametz into an iser kolel. This is what I was missing this piece before. V'meil. It comes out like this. Both Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim agree in principle that ain't iser chal iser. The machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim is about what's called an iser kolel. For example, two examples. One example would be when you start with nevela and then it becomes Yom Kippur. In such a case, it's an iser kolel because Yom Kippur expands the Issa to even Basar Kosher, Basar Shchuta. And now we have the case where it started with Tevel and then it became Chametz on Pesach. Here too we have an Issa Kolel because the Issa Tevel only applies to this piece of bread, which is Tevel. The Issa Chametz includes all Tevel, all bread, even bread that's not Tevel. In both these cases we have an Issa Kolel. The Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon and they hold Iser Chal al Iser. Why? Because the second Isur has already a place to stand, you know, to grab onto. We said that Ein Iser Chal al Iser means that this is the area of the Isur, and you can't put another Isur on top of it because it's already occupied. It's like you can't put two cars in one parking space. But the chiddush here of the Chachamim is that if you have an Issa Kolel, so the second Issa already has room to be Chal, because it expands the scope of the first Issa, then it's Chal for everything. And that's how you can have a double Issa. So in two cases, we're going to have Machlok Shin Rav Shimon Chachamim. Case number one is when the animal died before Yom Kippur without Shkita, it's Nevela, and then Yom Kippur came, and with the onset of Yom Kippur, we have another Isur, and here Rav Shimon says, Ein Isur Chal Isur. Kamlo Chachom, he says, no, the second Isur is an Isur Kolel, and it's going to be Chal on top of the first Isur. So the second Machlokas is going to be with regard to Chametz of Tevel. It became Tevel once it was cut, and it was, you know, it was winnowed, the Gemar Malacha, and now it's Tevel. Then he takes his tevel, he grinds it into a flour, adds water, bakes it as matzah, and the answer is that, bakes it as chametz, as bread. And according to Rav Shimon, since it was already tevel, before you baked it as chametz, ein iser chal iser. So in both of these cases, of nevel on Yom Kippur and chametz shel tevel, Rav Shimon would say you're only in violation of the iser Nevela, you're only in violation of the Isur Tevel, and therefore the Brisa makes sense. Let's go back to the Brisa. The Brisa says that why is it that Tevel Shel Matzah, Matzah's Tevel is Psula, meaning it's invalid for the mitzvah of Matzah? The answer is because there's no Baal Tochal Chometz. What do you mean there's no Baal Tov Chachamitz? Why is there no Baal Tov Chachamitz? And the answer is because since the Issur Teva was Chal first, according to Reb Shimon, there's no room to superimpose the Issur of Chametz, so the Issur of Chametz doesn't register. And therefore there's no Issur of Chametz. If in this object, this bread, there's no possibility of Chametz, then there's no possibility of Matz. However, according to Chachamim, the Issur of Chametz will be Chal, despite the fact that it was Tevel before it became Chametz, because Chametz is an Issur Kola. And therefore, this Braisa could not be reconciled with the Chachamim, because the Braisa says that there's no Issur Chametz here. Why is there no Issur Chametz? You can tell me because it's Tevel and Issur Chal Issur. Here we can apply the principle that in Issur Kolel, Issur is Chal al Issur. So Ravina now wants to reconcile this Braisa with the Shita of the Chachamim. Okay. So he says the following. Perhaps we can reinterpret this drasha, this derivation, the alfus of the braisa, and in a way that it would square even with the chachamim. And what are we deriving from this hekesh between matzah and chametz? Mishe isuro mishum bal tochal chametz bilvad yotza. The exclusion of tevel ze, right? Ze meaning tevel. She'ein isuro mishum bal tochal chametz bilvad ela af mishum bal tochal tevel. Ein achinami. We agree that chametz will be the isur chametz will be chal on tevel because it's an isur kolel. However, the Torah qualifies for matzah only matzah which would lend itself to the isur chametz, to the exclusion of matzah that would lend itself to another isur, that would be subject to another isur, namely the isur tevel in this case. So, Mimele, even though according to Chachamim we have an isur chametz here, but it's not exclusive. The only kind of matzah that would qualify as matzah is when the single isur that could be applicable to this matzah is chametz. Had you left it for another 17 minutes or whatever it might be. However, in the case of matzas tevel, even though there is an isur chametz here, because isur chal isur in the case of kolel, but nevertheless, since it's got an additional isur, namely tevel, therefore it's excluded, it's disqualified from matzah. Matzah has to have one isur and only one isur, namely chametz, but not tevel. So Gemara rejects this. In other words, we like Ravina. We're very excited about Ravina, but the Gemara doesn't like Ravina. Midi bilvad ksuv? Where does it say in the Torah that you can only be yotze matzah, which something through which it's chimutz would give you only one iser, an iser chametz? Now the pasuk is saying that you can be yotze with all matzah that could come to chametz, even if it has other isurim. We've got to go back to interpret the Braisa like Rav Sheshes, that you must have the possibility of Chametz. And in the case of Tevel, you don't have a possibility of Yisr Chametz because of Rav Shimon who holds any Yisr Chal Yisr. Okay. Now the Mishnah tells us that you cannot be Yotze with Matzah of Maaser Sheni out of Yerushalayim because it's also Achila, and that's called Lotucha Lechol Bisharecha. We're about to learn a braisa now. What about matzas maaser sheni in Yerushalayim? So, Moshe, what would you say about that? If I bring my maaser sheni into Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim I bake it as matzah, right? So, outside of Yerushalayim it was maaser sheni, in Yerushalayim I have a mitzvah achila, and now I bake it into matzah. Would I be okay with such a matzah?
Sounds good.
Yeah, why not? You might be mekayim two mitzvahs at the same time. You're mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah and achilas maaser sheni. So I have a good idea. This Pesach, I can't do because I'll be a chutzlitz, but we're all going to eat matzahs maaser sheni. Try to get a hold of matzahs maaser sheni. It's going to be a new badatz hechsher. Matzahs shall maaser sheni. Why? Because now you're going to be able to say two mitzvahs. Get two for the price of one. Taner Abana, the Braisa says Yochel Yotze Adam Chovasa B'Maaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. As we said before, this is a great idea. Let's make our matzah from Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and therefore we'll get two mitzvahs for the price of one. Talmud Lomar, here I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you. In Dvarim Tezayin, it says, Shivas Yom Tochel Matzis Lechem Oni. Now let's just think about this phrase, Lechem Oni. How do you spell the word Oni? With an Aleph or with an Ayin? With an Ayin. So the Gemara has a rule, which is a very controversial rule, so don't think that everybody accepts this rule, that in the Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Nisbehen, you can darshan a word that has an Ayin as if it had an Aleph.
So or an Or.
Excellent. Yeah, that's the only difference is, Mitch, that's Alpi Medrash and Agadot, if you follow me. But what about in Halacha? Can I derive Halacha conclusions by changing an Ayin to an Aleph? Okay, that's going to be the subject of this Machlokas. Let's assume you'll be very liberal, you know, forthcoming, and let's say I can read it as if it said Oni with an Aleph. Oni is what's called Aninus, which is a form of grief and mourning. It's kind of Avelus. Now, my Sosheni, the Torah says that you have to eat it b'simcha. There's a separate kiyum of bringing my Sosheni to Shalayim, b'mokom simcha, and eating it b'simcha. Aninus and simcha are mutually exclusive. So the question is, if this matzah is made of my Sosheni, correct, then let's read the Gemara inside. Gemara says, "Fine, Yochel Shiotzi Odom Chavos of Matzah of Ma'aser Sheni Bishulayim Talmud Lomar Lechem Oni," and you're going to read Oni as if it had what, an Aleph, which is Lashon Aninus. Is Masha Nechal BeAninus? I see what he's saying. What is the symbolism of Matzah? Is it good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? Obviously it's good for the Jews because of the mitzvah of matzah, but I mean the symbolism itself, is it because of the geula and the redemption, or is it because of the avdus?
It's both.
Yeah, it's very complicated. The Abarbanel has a whole piece on this, you know, but until you get to his answers you can probably not be courage because he has like 50 questions, so if you fall asleep, you know, you're in trouble. But anyway, so what happens here? Lechem Oni means that this is the bread of Aninus. It's a sad, because for so many centuries the Mitzrim were feeding us matzah according to Chazal. That's because it was cheap and it fills up your belly, and that's called Lechem Shal Aninus. Okay, but now what if your matzah is Ma'aser Sheni? So that's not called Lechem Shal Aninus. Why is it not called Lechem Shal Aninus? Yotza Zeh, this matzah is Ma'aser Sheni, is excluded. She'eino Nechel Ba'aninus, that by its very nature, the Cheft itself generates a Chiyuv of Simcha, of a Simcha. So Simcha becomes a T'nai in Ma'aser Sheni. I'll read to you the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Ma'aser Sheni, in Parshas Ki Tov, it says, Lo Achalti Bi'oni Mimeni. And that means, according to Gemara in Zvachim, that you're not allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni in Aninus, in the state of Aninus. Let's say, for example, one of his seven relatives died. Aviv, Imo, Bino, Bito, Achiv, Achoso, or Ishto. And the Torah recognizes that on that day of the death of one of your seven close relatives, you are in a state of Aninus, otherwise known as Avelus. Again, the rest of the 7 days is only Durabana, but we're not talking about Shiva, we're talking about Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon is Doraisa. And has expressed itself in the Iser Achilas Ma'aser Sheni, because the Torah says Lo Achalti Bi'oni Mimeni, and that's what the Gemara calls Ela B'Simcha. Again, it's not really Simcha, so to speak. I don't know if you have to jump and dance like Shlomo Kalbach and get a 7-piece band in order to eat Ma'aser Sheni. I don't know. Maybe you know, after the Mikdash will be built, we'll have such a thing. I mean, I know someone who plays a very good bugle, a clarinet, and so forth and so on. He's in a band. Sometimes he can't come to Shia, but anyway, so he definitely would want to be blowing his music and playing his music as we eat the Ma'aser Sheni. But I don't know if that's the requirement of Simcha. The Torah says, L'achalti bi'oni mimeni, which means that Aninus and Avelus is exclusive of Ma'aser Sheni. There's an exclusion here of Ma'aser Sheni. So on the one hand, the matzah itself, the Torah says, is matzah's oni, lechem oni. And he's reading Oni as if it said it with an Aleph. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef, this is all Rabbi Yosef Glili, he's going to exclude a matzah of Ma'aser Sheni because a matzah of Maaser Sheni can never be used for matzah, because matzah requires oni and Maaser Sheni requires simcha, or at least the antithesis of aninus.
Is everybody sad around Seder
Day? I don't know if it means sadness, but the truth is there. Again, don't quote me on this, but there is an element of sadness in the Seder. Anybody know what I have in mind?
In the Seder.
Yeah, where do you find sadness in the Seder, so to speak?
Maskil
B'Gnai. Okay, that's good.
Maskil B'Gnai. The whole generation's about to kill us.
Okay, excellent. I meant, you know, on the car itself, I meant to say, you know.
The Morar.
The Morar. What else? The Beitzach, again, there's a machlokus, what the Beitz is all about, whether it's like Lechagiga or the same. The Beitz is because this night is going to be the same night of the week as Tisha B'Av. What else, Ruben? Charos is machlokus, whether it's Zecher L'Tit, or whether it's Zecher L'Tapuach, Tachas HaTapuach or Artich, but if you hold Zecher L'Tit, it has Avelis in it. Some say the meaning of wearing a kittel is to remind you of Yom HaMis. I mean, there are a lot of things about to say to you. Know, I don't want to ruin anyone's fun, you know. But so the matzah is called lechem oni, and Rabbi Yosef Agudin is going very far. He's saying lechem oni is not the bread of a poor man, but it's the bread of grief, so to speak, which is antithetical to Maaser Sheni. And therefore, you cannot be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with matzah's maaser sheni, because the maaser sheni itself is mafkia; it removes the status of the matzah as lechem oni, oni with an aleph. Now, again, I would have said to you that lo achalti v'oni is a separate isa gava, that an onen, rachmanu l'tzlan, an onen is not allowed to eat maaser sheni. But now we're saying it's more than just an isa gava; it defines the chefta, and it makes this chefta antithetical to matzah, because matzah requires aninus, or shall we say matzah is aninus, it's called lechem oni, and maaser sheni is lechem shel simcha, which is antithetical to aninus. So what happens in the case where he has maaser sheni, he bakes it as matzah? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying that the status of maaser sheni undermines the status of matzah. You know, you could have said it the other way around. Maybe if it's matzah. Here's the difference. See, matzah only becomes lechem oni when you eat it. And the Torah is designating this lechem as to be eaten as lechem oni. But maaser sheni is maaser sheni before you eat it and after you eat it, while you're eating it. Maaser sheni is maaser sheni. So if it's maaser sheni, now you want to eat it as matzah. But the maaser sheni could be matzah, there's no problem. But now you want to eat it for the mitzvah of matzah. You want to say that this maaser sheni should qualify for the mitzvah of matzah. That we can't do. Why? Because in order to generate a kiyum matzah on the first night of Pesach, you need it to be lechem oni. And this cannot be considered lechem oni because aninus is antithetical to maaser sheni. That's all according to who? Rav Yossi Aglili. Classically, it's not always the case, but the classic bar plukta of Rav Yossi Aglili is Rabbi Akiva, and that's true here. Rabbi Akiva doesn't understand this. He doesn't accept this whole business that you take an olive, you take an ayin, and you read it as an olive. That wasn't on his list of hermeneutic principles of Torah Nidreshes. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva Omer, matzos riba. That the Torah tells me that even a matzah of maaser sheni, which is not eaten by aninus, nevertheless you can use it to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Nuim Cain, Rabbi Kiva asks himself the fine question, matam alom lechem oni. Then after all, Rabbi Yossi Aglili proved that a maaser sheni cannot be eaten by aninus, and therefore it cannot be a kiyum of lechem oni as matzah is concerned. Well, what's Rabbi Akiva going to do with lechem oni? So Gemara answers, Pratli Isa Sheni Losha B'Yayin V'Shemen U'Dvash. This is what we call matzah Ashira. So you make the dough, instead of water you use fruit juices, and in such a case you exclude it from matzah. Why is disqualified from matzah? It's not called what? Lechem Oni. So he's reading Oni with an ayin. It's got to be a poor man's bread, meaning it's austere. It's pure flour and water, nothing else. You know that Sfaradim don't make hamotzlach menorahs on matzah the whole year round. And the reason for that is because it's lechem oni. You know, who eats matzah? I mean, call it a cracker, if you will, you know, but that's not a... You know, that doesn't deserve hamotzi. Chazal say that they were misaking a special bracha on lechem because of the chashivas of lechem.
They don't call lechem during the year. They call it a cracker. That's
yeah, the whole year round it's a cracker. So you can't kill a lechem. You hamotzi lechem in oris. But what would be, according to the Sfaradim, if you took oil or honey or wine and you baked and you made your isa and then you baked it as matzah? I don't know. Maybe in such a case it has the chashivas of lechem. It's not a lechem only.
It can't be chametz, so it's my barrels.
Correct. So maybe if it can't be chametz, it's not called lechem. Or should we say no? The reason that matzah is not called lechem is because it's lacking in chashivas, but maybe if it's lechem ashira, it's matzah ashira, maybe it does have chashivas. I don't know. In any event...
It could be connected also, like, as far as we make a hamotzi over a challah that has any sweetness to it, raisins or...
The whole year round?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know that to be true, because your son-in-law is a Sephardi, right?
No, but they hold that to be...
Who's a Sephardi in your family? You told
no one.
No one? Oh, I thought you had a...
I have experience with the Sephardi.
Yeah, why? You're in the shmata business?
No.
I'm just joking. The Syrians, you know...
It's in the zona.
Even a couple of raisins and that's it?
Yeah, sweet challah.
Wow. Okay, my time with the Rabbi Akiva. Why does the Rabbi Akiva use lechem oni to establish that you need a lechem nechal aninus? The way Rabbi Yossi says, miksiv lechem oni. Oh, I see. Oh, now the Gemara is talking about the vav. Yeah, just one second. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun here. Wait a second. Oh, my time with the Rabbi Akiva. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva use lechem oni? It has to be nechal be'aninus. Oh, I see. So the Gemara is not asking why does Rabbi Akiva reject Rabbi Yossi Aglil? The answer to that is because it doesn't say lechem oni with an aleph. The Gemara is asking what objection would Rabbi Akiva raise against Rabbi Yossi Aglil within the framework of Rabbi Yossi Aglil? And even if I grant you, Rabbi Yosef, your premise, which I reject, says Rabbi Akiva, that we can read it as oni with an olive, but it doesn't say oni with it doesn't say aninus aleph nun yud, but rather it says ein vav nun yud. So the extra vav, in a sense, it torpedoes Rabbi Yosef, because it shouldn't have, the Torah should not have added the vav here. It should have said lechem.
No.
Just one side. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. Again, it says lechem oni without a vav, and if you're interpreting the ayin as an aleph, and therefore it's lechem oni, then it should have said oni with a vav. So that's Rabbi Akiva's kasha. Miksiv lechem oni, right? Oni means oni, right? If you know the way it's pronounced is the way you interpret it. So then it should have said. It should have been written lechem oni with a vav. See, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's very good because Rabbi Akiva is learning that we're talking about the bread of an oni of a poor person, as opposed to lechem ashira, matzah ashira. So therefore, it should say lechem oni, aleph nun yud, the bread of a poor person. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we're talking about it's the lechem of aninus or the lechem of an oni. And therefore, lechem of an oni should be written ayin vav nun yud. Oh, so the Gemara then explains Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili turns to Rabbi Akiva and he says, miksiv oni. I'm sorry, mikarinan oni, oni karinan. In other words, according to you, Rabbi Akiva, we should read it as oni, lechem oni. But we have a Masorah, and the Masorah tells us that we read it as lechem oni. Oni is exactly what I was talking about, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, is a person who's an Oni. Rabbi Akiva. So now we have to go back to Rabbi Akiva. Hi, de Karinan Bay Oni. because there's another halacha that we want to derive from Oni, and not only the exclusion of matzah shira, but also kedishmul the Yom Shmuel lechem Oni lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe. So the Torah added the vav, even though it should have said Oni without the vav, to teach us that when you makayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzis Mitzrayim, Rashi identifies this as gomrim es ha-halel v'yomrim olav es ha-gadah. So we have halel and ha-gadah. You need lechem oni. So what you do is you put the matzah down on the table, and then you recite the entire Haggadah and the halel after the Haggadah, and all that is considered onim olav dvarim harbe. So on the one hand, we read it oni without the vav, and that's going to teach us that we exclude matzah shira. And on the other hand, we read it lechem oni with a vav, and the word oni with a vav means onim olav dvarim harbe. Okay, well, we'll just read one more piece, and then I'll let you go. He says, "V'savar Rabbi Akiva she'isa nilosh v'yayin v'shemet v'ash lo." We have a stira because elsewhere there's a brisa, and the brisa records Rabbi Akiva's shita as accepting lisha, meaning kneading a dough for Pesach with yayin shemet u'dvash. How do we reconcile the two Rabbi Akivas? Okay, so we'll take a pause.